the field told her what they witnessed. She said, quote, "No, I'm not sure what you're referring to." Then she watched the video and she said, quote, "I could barely believe my eyes." From then, we saw that behavior almost every day. Once we started looking, we saw it everywhere. So this is the question. Is this new behavior or has this always been happening? So I want to bring your attention to two other things. One, when a mouse is crowded or starving, they will cannibalize. They will even cannibalize their own babies, which is disturbing to discover as a teenager at the zoo in your feeder rat drawer that's too crowded.
There was, there was something called, was it the Paradise Project? I can't remember the name of the state, but the idea was, what happens if you start off a small colony of mice and give them everything that they need and plenty of space? And it was like this sort of a sociology study. And it turned out like they were like all happy, go lucky, carefree until the population reached a certain point. And then, yeah, they turned on each other.
Yes. So mice and rats do this. We know that. We also know from previous studies that deer, particularly in lean times in the snow, will eat meat if they come across it. They don't hunt, but they will scavenge meat. So all these animals that are herbivores, big air quotes, will eat what they find. Animals are going to eat calories that they can. End of story. The wild is a survival game. So what was interesting about this was that between June and July, when this was happening, their carnivorous behavior peaked during the first 2 weeks of July, which coincided with an explosion of vole numbers at the park. This was, they discovered by iNaturalist reports. So it seems like this behavior emerged alongside a temporary increase in the availability of prey. So was it easy food? Were the voles crowding out other grains that they would have otherwise eaten? Was climate change causing things to be too hot and dead?
Yeah.
Were squirrels learning how to scavenge because of human interactions and that there were other food sources available? There's a million reasons that this could be happening. My best guess is that squirrels always be eating meat when it's available. Squirrels are going to eat food when it is around. End of story. It is calories. So like, what is the least amount of calories you can expend for the most amount of calories in your body? And what bacteria and processes do you have in your guts that allow you to process that food? That's ultimately what it comes down to. So if squirrels are able to eat meat, they are going to eat meat. So like, Justin, this is directly related to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
They are defying previous categorization because there's an expectation of, oh, it's a little fuzzy rodent with ever-growing front teeth. It eats plants. End of story. And then they're like, oh, except for this one. Oh, except for this one. Oh, except for this one.
The other question is, would they eat birds?
Probably if they could catch them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's the question now. It's time to watch squirrels and see if they scavenge
eggs,
already dead things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eggs, carcasses. Yes. Are they going to scavenge just any meat, or are they only going to hunt, kill, and then eat voles? This is the beginning of a lot more information about squirrel diet than we are all ready for.
if the squirrels get H5N1,
probably, yeah,
then
we're in trouble.
They go,
I mean, mice can, and so if mice, then it was mentioned previously that cats catching mice, that rodents on dairy pastures
might have
been tested and positive for H5N1 as well. So yeah,
and that sucks because squirrels can go places where rats and mice cannot, and also in broad daylight, because since they have a fuzzy tail, people let them. So it's more socially acceptable for squirrels to be around. You know, it's true.
Vending machines.
Oh yeah, they're touching those. They touch every piece of fruit that's accessible to them, whether they eat it or not. Right? It's tough. But anyway, point being, we don't know if times are tough for the squirrels or if this is something they've always done. More study is needed. But ultimately, these squirrels in this place are eating meat. And I think we are going to learn more as this develops.
I'm just fascinated by this because there are so many researchers who have been staring at California ground squirrels for decades, and that nobody ever talked about this before is.
Yeah, I will say several of the parks that I work in are just infested with ground squirrels. And so now I'm going to be on the lookout to see what they're eating.
Yeah, but we know you have an anti-squirrel bias, Blake. So you're going to say that whether you see one or 100. So
it's true. There's one of the
Good morning. Welcome to the show. This is The Hot Takes. I'm DJ Froggy.
I am DJ Dizzy.
And we are so glad to be with you on this beautiful morning. Before we get into our show, first of all, this is KDVS Davis 90.3 FM, and we have a couple disclaimers for you.
The following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California.
Beautiful. All right. So if you're not familiar with the show, we are The Hot Takes. We are two girls who give our hot takes and our hot new music finds. And if you aren't familiar with hot takes, those are pretty much opinions that we are pretty passionate about, or unpopular opinions, or just things that we think need to be talked about. So I think we're going to go ahead and get into it. We're hot and we're funny, we're cute and we're nice. We sit and ask you questions that make you think twice. All right, so I think DJ Dizzy has our first hot take for the day.
Yeah, okay. So the first hot take is that art is subjective. And to get into that, well, I guess it's not as much of a hot take because a lot of people probably agree with this, but I guess like sometimes I wonder like when we make art, when we make art, or if we see art in museums or at shows and everything, whether what makes a piece of art more worth it or worthy of being there versus the art that other people have made. And sometimes, I guess an example with that was that, like, when you go in the museum, you could see a piece of work that you're like, oh, I could make that, but you know if you made it, it would not have been worth the same amount of attention or worth the same amount of money. And I guess it goes into the fact that I'm like, is art also subjective part of it, not just like the beauty of the art, but like what makes art worth it based on like if an artist has more connections, does that make their art more worth it, or if the artist has like a way into the art industry, does that make it more worth it, or is it like just like hard work and like getting your name out there?
Yeah, this kind of makes me think about when you go to museums and you go to like contemporary or modern art and it's literally just like a red square on a white canvas. And honestly, when you think about it, if Van Gogh were to paint that, it would more likely make it into like thousands of museums versus if like I did that and tried to turn it in. So I feel like, yeah, it definitely matters like how many people know you or just kind of like the following that you do have. But also thinking about art being subjective, I actually was watching a show yesterday where actually similar to what I just brought up, this girl kept going into a museum every day of the week to look at this one painting, and it was just a red triangle, and she came back and honestly she had some good points, but all of her friends kept being like, oh my gosh, like it's just a triangle, and she was like, okay, but it's a red triangle in white space, or is it white space with a red triangle, and where the red meets the white, what is the moment like when the red meets the white? And I was like, dang, she's honestly thinking about it like really deeply. But then I kind of thought about it and I was like, well, I feel like that's when kind of what people are thinking when they see a red square and they're like, oh my gosh, this is like, how did this even make it in there? But then there's people like her who are actually thinking about it way deeper. So I feel like, yeah, it really put thought into it. You can make any meaning out of it, but also like you can find any type of art to be way more important than other ones, no matter who the person is. But yeah, I feel like when it comes to museums, I think that they like, I'm not exactly sure how they decide, but I think for one would definitely be, you probably need like some type of resume of like how much of your art has been in other exhibitions and things like that. But yeah, I don't really know how if you're just like the most average person, how you would get your art to be, I don't know, to blow up besides like Instagram or something.
Yeah. I guess that's why it's also so hard to be in the art industry, because it's like a win or lose. Sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you have like easier access to getting your art out there, and sometimes you don't.
Yeah. I also was thinking about, I'm a fashion major, and I have always been told, anytime I tell someone I'm a fashion major, particularly like older people, they'll always tell me like, oh wow, like what are you gonna do with that, like it's gonna be so hard for you. And my response is always that like technically you do have to find connections, not always, but like that is a big part of being in the art, I guess like industry, is finding those connections and just finding random people to be like, yeah, I'll do this for you, or I know this person. And so I think that's another part of it. Like you could be the most like basic average person and your art is like, I don't know, maybe not a lot of people will get it, but if you know the right person or you have the right connections, you could probably get your art into a lot of different places. So that's a whole other part of it too, that is just like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to come up if you don't have those connections.
Yeah, networking.
Yeah, exactly. Networking is a big part of it. Which, for those of you interested in networking, I actually was talking to a couple people at my job the other day about, if you're American and you go to Europe, they kind of like, no matter what job you're in or like what area of work you're in, when you go to Europe and they find out you're American, depending on what part, obviously, but a lot of the times they will freak out just because you're American and be so like excited that if you find the right people, they will literally just be like, oh, I know a person, I'll do this for you because you're American. And I think that's honestly like, yeah, in a lot of places people don't really like Americans, but like I was talking to this girl that went to London and she was saying that this happened to her, and I had the same experience when I went to Milan. Some people didn't even know I was working in fashion, and they like offered me modeling jobs, which is really random, but I think it was because I'm American. Because I would just be sitting on the train and I'd have my headphones in and they'd be like, I need you to model. I'd be like, okay. But then other people, yeah, I would tell them that I was into fashion and I would be like, yeah, I was born pretty close to San Francisco. Like I'm from around there. And that would drive them even more crazy. They'd be like, oh my God, like I know this person, you need to meet this person. So keep that in mind, guys. You might need to go to Europe.
No, honestly, that's true. Even in, well, I guess most countries, well, now I think in America, we think most countries look at America and they laugh at Americans because of like the presidential election and everything that's been going on. But honestly, like, even like, speaking of like, well, Europe, I feel like there's so much more networking and better connections in terms of like if you're American. But even like in Iran, everybody there is so, when they hear that you're American, people like, I feel like, I don't want to say bow down to you, but they're just like, oh my God, you're American or you're from America. They always want to ask so many questions and they're so curious. And I feel like the media, or like how, not even the media, but however it's presented, people always think like, yeah, people think Americans are dumb. But like, honestly, a lot of people like, I think it also goes back to like Hollywood industry and like how America's portrayed in movies and like online. So a lot of people who've never been to America view America as like, oh my God, that's a land of opportunities, and like that's where Hollywood is, and that's where all these movies are made, and like San Francisco is like, they just have like a vision of it. So I feel like that's why people view Americans as so like, whoa, like you deserve all these opportunities, or like, I feel like they also think that they're gonna get opportunities if they are connected to an American because of what America is known for. So it kind of goes both ways in a way. I feel like
I've also had experiences within America. If you're like, I'm Californian, then also people will like kind of get that same excitement, because another experience I had was I went to Kentucky because my family has reunions there every year. I think we just had like our 107th, not that long ago, but
107th reunion.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, there's been a century of reunions in my family in Kentucky. But yeah, when I was like 14, maybe a little bit younger, my whole family from California had gone up to Kentucky for the reunion, and we all were going fishing. And so everybody was making fun of the Californians because they were like, oh, what do you guys think? You're like Kim Kardashian, like going fishing, when we were literally wearing like jeans and t-shirts. But another part of it was that everybody would come up to us and be like, and we'd be like, we're from California. We're not like from Hollywood. Yeah. So I think there also is kind of just this like, I don't know, this common, I would say knowledge, but it's not exactly knowledge, kind of this like common stereotype about America, but specifically California. Yeah. Like, this is actually another hot take I have. Oh, here we go. One of my hot takes that I've talked about for a minute is that when people think of the American dream, they're usually thinking about California specifically. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like when people think of America, a lot of the times, yeah, they think of freedom and like freedom of speech and different things like that, which most people have in California. That's a big thing here. But they're also thinking about like the beach. They're thinking about Hollywood. They're thinking about San Francisco. They're thinking about famous people. And as we know, like a lot of famous people are in LA and SoCal. But they're also just thinking about like kind of the freedom we have in California to like go to like 10 different coffee shops if we want to go get coffee, but they're all within the same area. Or like you want to go to the beach, but you want to go to the snow, and you also want to like go on a hike, and like all within the same day. You can do that all in California. So yeah, I've like talked about this for a while, but like I think when people think of the American dream, they're like specifically thinking of the stereotypes that go with California, but they assume that it applies to like every state in America.
Yeah, that makes me think of like, well, I was gonna say like I feel like America catfishes you a little bit, but it's not catfishing because there are honestly like San Francisco is very beautiful, Tahoe is beautiful, like there's a lot of like beautiful areas, but I think it just makes me think of like all the random strip malls and like random towns like that we like drive by or that we see, and or like when we're in the middle of nowhere and we're like, because in my mind, before I ever like came to America, I literally would imagine America to look like how like the cities always look like each part of it. I never imagined like there's like strip malls and there's like random like suburb towns that like have really nothing in them and like just like weird stores and like it's not a city. And obviously like every country has like parts of it that look like that, but I just feel like America was never portrayed in that way, or I would never see that online. So I think it was so crazy like coming here and seeing like driving through cities or like driving like 20 minutes away from San Francisco and you're going down a strip mall in a random town, you're like, this town is not really nice or anything. It's just like a really weird town and like with just a bunch of parking lots and stores. It doesn't even have a downtown. And in my mind, I thought every town had like a little downtown. Mm-hmm. And like even in California, there's so many little towns like that. Well, I mean, where we're at even.
Yeah. No, and I also, I don't know how it is in a lot of other states, because I haven't really been to that many, but also in California, like, NorCal is so different from SoCal, and I think that that's also, like, I mean, maybe not a lot of people know that, but I think that that's also, like, such a fun part about California that I think people may know, but, like, if you think about NorCal, it's mostly, like, nature and just, like, I don't know, you're not really getting that aspect of, like, the industrialization that you have in like SoCal and like all of the like movie aspects and everything like that. That's mostly in SoCal, but I feel like NorCal is more of like the peaceful part, and like, not that SoCal isn't peaceful, but I think when I think of SoCal, I just think of like busy and like I hear like I cars of, honking.
Yeah, I think of that and then beach.
Yeah exactly. Yeah, that's the one thing,
like,
that NorCal
sunshine,
doesn't really have.
I guess.
Yeah,
it's like stereotypes.
Yeah, it's always sunny in SoCal.
Yeah, but North Cal, I do see it as more like nature and peaceful, because I mean there is more nature up in, I mean there's nature both places, but I guess North Cal is closer to Oregon too, and like,
yeah,
to all that. I feel like the more north you go, the more you get to like the more nature parts of like the country.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So I feel like that's how I envision North Cal too. I envision as like hiking and like cabins. And the air is, like, more crisp in my mind.
More crisp? I mean, yeah, I guess that's fair, honestly. Because, yeah, when you think of, like, SoCal air, it's, like, smog. That's what I think of. But, yeah, that all goes to say that when people think about the American dream, I think that a lot of the times they are thinking about all these different aspects of California. Because then, like, if you, like, were to bring up, like, for Kentucky, for instance, like, nobody's thinking of going to America and they're like, oh, I want to go to Kentucky.
No, but I kind of want to go to Kentucky.
Okay, it's honestly kind of nice.
I kind of want to go to like all these. I want to go to all the states, even the states that are like not known to be very friendly, or very, not even friendly, but like they're known for it to just not be like a fun state to travel to. I feel like I still want to see, because like, I don't know, the concept of like having a road trip through America sounds so fun to me, and it's always sounded so fun. And I feel like I want to be in the middle of Montana and just see what Montana is like, or be in the middle of Kentucky and see what it's like.
Yeah, I have always thought this about Rhode Island, because I feel like I never hear anyone talk about Rhode Island.
I literally forgot that was a state.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody ever speaks about it. And I feel like that has to be because there's not much over there. But I want to go so bad, because I'm like, I need to know what's over there. Nobody's speaking about it. And I just feel like, I don't know, they have some secrets in Rhode Island, because like, I never have met anyone from Rhode Island. I never hear anybody talk about it. I never hear like news from Rhode Island. Like,
yeah,
I've only just seen it on a map.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do want to go to every state also, because I want to know what's out there. Or like all the M states, like Montana, Michigan.
Yeah, I really want to go to Montana.
Yeah, I want to know what's over there.
And then I applied to school in Montana.
Really?
I told you this. Or maybe.
I think you might have.
Sometimes I randomly say that and I just remember, and I'm like, yeah, in high school I applied to Montana State and I got in, because honestly I couldn't get in much anywhere else in like California. But then I got in and I was actually thinking of going. But mainly it was because like I kind of liked the state of Montana. It just looked cool. And the city Montana State was in looked so pretty too. And I was like, that would be so cool. But I definitely think I would have had such a different experience.
Yeah.
It'd be a little bit scary.
Yeah, no, definitely. It would have been a lot different. But I actually, my freshman year in Davis, I lived, my dorm hall was apparently like a social hall. I didn't know I applied for that, but yeah, everybody was talking like 24 hours a day. But there was this one guy who was from Montana, and he had like such a specific personality. It was so funny. He like wore these like
a mountain.
Huh?
Like a mountain man?
No, more of just like he like came out the mud. Like he was like, he would wear like fish slippers all the time. He had like a little accent, like a little country boy accent. And he was just very like man coded, but like I guess like mountain, kind of what you're saying, just like very naturey. Yeah. And like he would talk about how they walk around barefoot all the time. So he was like, yeah, my feet are made of steel because we don't wear shoes out there. And I'd be like, oh, okay.
It's but giving like hippie. Interesting.
Hippie. I mean, it's giving more of like oaky to me, like just very like
granola.
No, sorry,
is it granola? But more than
not even granola. Like I feel like, do you know what oaky people are?
A little bit. I don't have a vision in my head right now.
They're not exactly granola. They're just very like nature type people. Like they are
like
not the
survival and woods.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They're like that. And he was giving that vibe. And I just want to know if everyone from Montana is like that, or if it was just him. But it was interesting to meet someone from Montana and being from California, because that was like kind of the first time I was starting to meet people outside of California in college. So yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's always, it's been interesting to me when I in Davis, especially when people are like, oh, I'm from like this random state that, well, Montana's not that far, I guess, but it is still kind of like random. But, and I know UC Davis is pretty, it's like a popular school, but honestly a lot of people like outside of California don't know about UC Davis, because like the UC system is very much like a California thing. But like some people would be from New York here, and I'm just like, whoa, that's crazy. You like heard about Davis all the way from New York and traveled here, and you're from that state, or like small states, or like Wyoming or something. I'm just like, that's crazy that you're here.
Yeah, I know.
It's not crazy that you're here, but it's like, I wonder, like it's such a drastic difference to come to California and UC Davis out of everything. Well, I guess Davis is kind of similar to.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone forgets about UC Davis.
Like, yeah, it's not like that well known of a school. I guess.
Yeah.
Outside.
No, I feel like when people think of UCs, they just think of like Berkeley, UCLA, LA.
Yeah,
Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Kind of like the bigger ones, but yeah, I think Davis is always like forgotten. And nobody ever talks about UC Merced. I'm sorry, but
or,
they don't.
Irvine a little bit. Riverside.
See, nobody talks about Riverside. Irvine, yeah, a little bit. But yeah, Davis is one of those that people don't really talk about either. But we love it here. Yay, about to graduate.
We're over here shouting out Davis. We're making
well,
it known.
It needs it, yeah. The hot takes the are advocates for UC Davis. Note that. But, yeah. I think that was a good hot take session.
Should we get into music or should we?
Yeah, I think we should. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that little hot take moment, that little session. So for now, we're going to get into one message for you, and then we'll start getting into some music. And hopefully you enjoy. Thank you.
Free clothes? What? Yep, you heard right, friend. F-R-E-E free. The Aggie Reuse Store is your zero-cost on-campus thrift store. Find us at the MU to browse our selection of secondhand items or stop by with donations. We'd love to take your old clothing, as long as it's cute. Just kidding, you can bring us your ugly stuff too. We won't judge. We're open weekdays 11 to 4, located near the info desk on the first floor of the MU. Stay updated with hours and learn more at aggiereuse.ucdavis.edu or follow us on Instagram. See you there.
Sweet Emily, my bride-to-be, just how long will you stand next to me? For we both know it's more than a load for you to bear. It breaks my heart, but I don't understand if you'd leave me for another man with a little less on his mind, less on his plate, less in his brain. Please do not lean on me, I'm unstable. You're all you need, I've seen it, you're able. Do not lean on me, I'm unstable. You're all you need, I've seen it, you're able. Sex in the air, deep in despair, could you please act like you're unaware? But we both know I'm just a dog chasing his bone. Please understand, I'm just a man that's nearly figured out his master plan. Just stick around and you gon' see worth every pound. Please do not lean on me, I'm unstable. You're all you need, I've seen it, you're able. Do not lean on me, I'm unstable. You're all you need, I've seen it, you're able.
And I don't talk about my feelings, keeping balled up. Now I'm dealing with the karma. And if we kept it honest on the start, love, it'll probably last it longer. If I could trade for a few more days of you, me hanging, had a blessing by my side. We both made some mistakes, still I take the blame. If I really wanted diamonds, then the pressure'd be applied. I'm trying to start over, all over again. Cause me being a player's getting old. I'm trying to start over, all over again. If she ain't slip away, I let her go. Thinking I'd find something better down the road. Searching for forever, you connected with my soul. I'm trying to start over, all over again. I'm trying to start over. If I could go back to page one, I'd make it up to you. No more holdbacks, no fake stuff. And girl, I swear to keep it true. I mix the rhythm with the blues. I'm off this gallows, that's the move. They say the truth that set you free. Well, truthfully, I'm used to you and me. I'm trying to start over, all over again. Cause me being a player's getting old. I'm trying to start over, all over again. If she ain't slip away, I let her go. Thinking I'd find something better down the road. Searching for forever, you connected with my soul. I'm trying to start over, all over again. I'm trying to start over.
Clouds won't hide.